In many ways, this kind of follows on from the last few Sunday evenings that we've had here. because a few weeks ago, Daryl was talking about Mary and Martha. And it was strange, actually, because even then, Daryl had already asked me to speak tonight. But even then, before he spoke about Mary and Martha, it was really on my heart about spending time with God and the importance of spending time with God. And so we are going to look a little bit about that, but we're not thinking about Mary and Martha tonight. It's just a few thoughts about how we can work that out in our lives. But I'm going to start with a story. Quite a long time ago now, Paddy and I went to a meeting. It was put on by an organisation like Care for the Family, similar to that. And the guy who was speaking, he was actually speaking about spending time with your children and the importance of spending time with your children because your time goes by quickly. That was his point. But he gave this illustration. He says when his own little boy was little, autumn would come round, and he used to love going out and collecting conkers with his little boy, and he really enjoyed doing that. And they'd bring all the conkers back and bags, and they had a fantastic time collecting conkers. And he says the time went on, but he says one year he came and he said to his little boy, he says let's go collecting conkers. And his little boy, who had grown up and he was older by now, he said, well, Dad, he says, I don't think I want to do that anymore. He said, I'm a bit older now. And then this was the line. He finished the story by saying, there's only so many conker collecting days left. And actually, that has stayed with Paddy and I. And as our children have grown older, we've often said to each other, there's only so many conker collecting days left. And a few weeks ago, we were preparing to get Esther off to university, and we have a conker tree in our garden. And 7 years ago, when we moved into that house, Charlie was about 7 years old at the time, and him and his mate Jack used to come and collect all the conkers, and now they lay on our lawn, and they're not collected anymore. And the other week, we were looking out, and I was looking at the conker tree, and I said to Paddy, as that weekend we were taking Esther off to university, I said, you know what I'm going to say? There's only so many conker collecting days left. But the truth is, time passes by so quickly. And we can get caught out as well in our Christian lives by time passing us by. I remember when the children were little, and I thought to myself, when they go to nursery, I'll have more time to spend with God. And then it was, when they go to primary school, they'll be at school all day, and I'll have all day, and I'll have more time then. And when they go to high school and they just go off on the bus in the morning and I don't have to take them to school and go and do the collection anymore, then I'll have more time. But the truth is, I guess we've all made excuses like that. But the truth is, when they've done all those things and those years have passed, we've got no more time than before. And actually, the truth is that we just have to make the time for what is important. And that's a challenge. And it's a challenge to me, and I guess it's a challenge to every one of us, of how am I spending my time? How do I spend my time with God? How am I modelling, how is my life modelling a walk with God? A few weeks ago, my mum had been in hospital, and she stayed with us for a week after she came out. And we were chatting one day, and she told me about my uncle. My uncle has now gone to be with the Lord. But when he was a boy, he was a teenager, he went away to study. And my grandparents were Christian people, and they wanted him to go and stay at a Christian home. So he went away and stayed with a lady called Mrs. Knights. Do you know, my uncle's lasting memory of Mrs. Knights was passing by her bedroom door, and he would see the two soles of her slippers as she leant down by her bed to pray. That was my uncle's lasting memory of Mrs. Knights. Mrs. Knights had learnt the secret of spending time with God because she knew it was important. Okay? And that was my uncle's lasting memory of that lady. And I think, man, what is somebody's lasting memory of my life or your life? and that's a challenge. And this week, actually, it was fantastic for those of you who weren't able to be at John Warnes' funeral. It was just fantastic to hear about his life. And sadly, oftentimes, we hear about somebody's life when they've passed on. But there was a picture that went up on the screen at the funeral of a whole schoolroom full of children. And actually, what John and Sylvia had done, they had they moved onto an estate in Luton, and there was lots of London Overspill children living on that estate. And actually, what they'd done, John had gone out and he'd made connection with the families, and he ran a huge Sunday school for years on that estate. And many of those children came to know the Lord. And then John was in the army before that, but he was in the army, and they used to take the mick out of him for going to church on a Sunday. But you know, there was one day when John was getting ready to go to church, and some of the other lads from the place where he was living said, "Come on, John, we're going to come with you today." And that night, actually, some of those lads got saved. And I thought, wow, what a fantastic legacy John Warnes left, you know. And his son actually made tribute to that, you know, at the service on Wednesday. But I was challenged because preparing for the funeral service, Sylvia was telling me, in all their married life, they always read the scripture together. And I thought, wow, that is fantastic. Actually, they always read the scripture together. And we've heard, you know, other Sunday nights I've said, spending time with God is a challenge to us all. But I don't know if you've ever been in this place, and I have been in this place, where you've sat in church and you've heard somebody talking about spending time with God, and the person preaching seems to have 8 hours a day to spend with God, and you are sitting there thinking, oh, my life will never match up to this. And actually, you can sit there in guilt. But actually, the truth is, actually, God never means us to feel guilty. Actually, God knows where we're at. And it's important to understand that, you know, in life, we have some very legitimate things that have to be done. We have to look after our children. We have to go out to work and provide for our families. And I think sometimes it's so easy to think, oh, no, you know, there's just not time to do what I want to do, because I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do that. But the thing is, God knows you've got to do all those things. And the thing is, it is actually our responsibility as parents to bring up our children. It is our responsibility to provide for our families. But the crux of the issue is that what we choose to do in the time that we're not fulfilling all those things, it's at the time we've got where it's up to us, it's up to our choice. You know, when we've got the kids to bed, when we've done the jobs or whatever, there is always things to do in our lives. Can't we always find something to do? But actually, it's what we choose to do. It's what do we choose to do when all those things are done or we've got some time on our hands. And the thing is, we have to understand that life comes in seasons. And there are seasons in our lives when just spending time with God just seems impossible. I remember when our children were little and at home, and it just seemed that they needed my attention 24/7, and it just didn't seem that there was time in the day to be able to spend some time with God. And yet I knew it was important, and every one of us would say, yes, that's really important to spend time with God. And yet we fall into this trap of feeling guilty because we're not doing it. And do you know what? Many times, actually, God has spoken to me when I'm washing up at the kitchen sink, when I'm doing jobs around the house. It's not just that concentrated time that we get with God that is the only time that he speaks to us. It's many times in the day that that God will use. And, of course, these seasons in life, they do pass us by, and we move on to another season, which is more easy. And a few weeks ago, as I've mentioned, Mum was in hospital, and we were busy getting Esther off to university. And you know, that was a busy time for us as a family. It was just every day there was things to do and things to be done. And in those few weeks, I found it very hard to actually get my regular time with God that I like to have. But actually, sometimes we just have to, in those times, in those seasons, we just have to make the best that we can do. And you know, sometimes it was playing a worship CD in the car as we drove up to the hospital, or sometimes it's just taking the time out of a busy day. And sometimes it is getting up a little bit earlier if we can. But you know, I've been in that place so much where I've just ended up coming to a meeting but feeling guilty, going away feeling guilty because I'm not matching up. But you know, the truth is that God wants to walk with us. It's not just like a concentrated time of the day when he wants to spend with us. It's a walk with God. And we all know equally that when we do spend time with God, that he meets us in incredible ways. That he's the God that stands with us. He's the God that carries us through. And I read a little bit about Susanna Wesley. She had 19 children. I thought, wow, that's quite something, isn't it? And I've got two, and it's hard for me. But she had 19 children. And what she would do when she wanted to have her prayer time, she would just drag up a chair in the kitchen, put her apron over her head, and all her children knew that that was the time when Mum was praying, so you didn't talk to her then. And then when she'd finished, she'd take the apron off her head, and they, that was all right, you know, that was done. But I thought, man, that is amazing, you know, 19 children. But she had made time. She'd done what she could in that season of her life, and with 19 children, that must have been a long season. But, you know, it is so easy to say, oh, I haven't got time. And there was a lady who was in our church when I was a child, and she was actually a dinner lady at our primary school as well. And so she was a busy lady, she had children. And she'd got saved, and she came to help on our youth camp. And so she'd given up a week of her time to come and help. And I remember her giving her testimony one evening on this week that we were away. And she said, do you know what? She says, before I was saved, if anybody had said to me, you know, come and on a youth camp and come and help cook the food for a week, she says, I would have said, oh, there isn't time. You know, I haven't got time for that. But she said, since I got saved, she says, I've realised there is always time for whatever is in God's will for you to do. And that never left me, actually. I thought, wow, actually, that is true. There is always time. God will always make time for what is in his will for us to do. And we give ourselves time to do things that are really important to us. We will make time, like I think Andy was saying last Sunday night. You know, we make time for what things that we want to do. And it is just building our time with God into our routine. And spending time with him on busy days. Do you know what? Some days I've got up and I've thought, do you know what? This is such a busy day today. I don't know how I'm going to find time to spend with God today. But, you know, there has been days where I've said, no, I'm going to spend time with God before I start. Right? And do you know what? You get to the end of the day and you think, yeah, you know, you've accomplished all that you set out to do. And I'm quite amazed at that, and I think, thank you, Jesus. But you know what? There has been plenty other days where I have got a busy day ahead, and I've just banged straight into the day. And you get to the end of the day, and you just think that was a car crash of a day, you know. Because actually, I haven't got my priorities in the right order. You know, I haven't set my stand and said, no, I'm going to spend time with God first before I do anything else. But you know what? God wants to walk with us daily as well. You know, it says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And that's quite a challenge, isn't it? And I've heard people say, well, how on earth do you do that? But actually, it's true that God wants to be part of your day, whatever you're doing. And I thought about this, and I thought of my relationship with Paddy, my husband, and I thought, actually, if I just said, right, Paddy, this is your bit of my day that we're going to talk, and then the rest of it I'm just going to carry on with my life. That would be an odd relationship to have, wouldn't it? Because Paddy and I talk about insignificant things in our day, you know, when we're at home and we're not at work. But actually, that's how God wants to be with us as well. He just doesn't want us to only have, yes, of course we need that time when we go away and shut the door and we spend with God. But actually, Jesus wants to walk with us through our lives so that when you're shopping in town, you can still hear from God. When you're driving the car, you can still be in tune with what God's saying to you. And so it's more of a, we live our life, we do life together, as Daryl would say, we do life together. And I like that expression, because actually that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to do life with us, he wants to walk with us. And so it's just best to build it into our routine, if we can do that and if we can find that place. And the best example, really, we've got is Jesus himself. And in Luke 5, verse 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to a quiet place." And I'm sure there are times in all of our lives when we can withdraw to a quiet place, even with the constraints of family life, work life, or whatever it is, you know, that we all need to be able to withdraw to a quiet place. There's times when we can walk God, but there's also times when we need to just withdraw to a quiet place, just like Jesus did. And Jesus had some busy days. Actually, you read that, you know, he's healing a few people that day. He's, you know, he's preaching to the people. So Jesus was a busy man. But actually, he knew the importance of withdrawing to a quiet place. And that is really our yardstick. That's really where we need to be. We need to be able to get to a place where we withdraw to a quiet place. And I looked in the Life Application Bible. I like the Life Application Bible. It gives you a little bit about most verses in the Bible down the bottom. And this is what it says about Luke 5, verse 16. "People were clamoring to see Jesus, to hear Jesus preach and have their diseases healed. Jesus made sure he often withdrew to a quiet, solitary place to pray. Many things clamber for our attention, and we run ourselves ragged attending to them. Like Jesus, however, we should take time to withdraw to a quiet place to pray. Strength comes from God, and we only get it by spending time with him." And I thought of a few things I could think of, just what I receive when I spend time with God, when I get into the presence of God. And of course, the first thing that we receive from Jesus is our salvation. You know, and daily we're thankful for our salvation and our forgiveness. And, you know, we find peace in God's presence. We find strength to face the day. Do you know, there are days when you wake up in the morning and you think, how am I going to get through today? But actually, just knowing Jesus, knowing he's there, and just being able to call on his name even, we find strength to face the day. Oftentimes we find direction when we need direction, when we need to know what is God's will. I remember a time in my life when I was changing my job, and I really needed to know whether it was the right thing to do. And I just felt in that period of my life that God was leading me into a different job. And it got to the point where I thought, actually, if this doesn't work out, this is really going to throw me off course, because I felt that God was in it so much. And thankfully, the job did work out, and it was all good. But actually, you know, we do find direction when we come to God. And we find a love for God and his people. That's just so important, that, you know, we've sung about God's love tonight, that we receive a love for God and also a love for his people. We find healing in Jesus, and we find help in our difficulties. And God doesn't take those things away, but oftentimes he helps us through them. But by spending time with God, we find that he helps us through the difficult parts of our lives. And so how do we move forward from today? And actually, the truth is, there is no formula. All of us get 24 hours in a day. We don't get any more, we don't get any less. And it's up to us how we're going to choose to spend that time. But it's that time when you've got a choice to spend time with God. Corrie ten Boom said, "Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. And actually, if you know anything about Corrie ten Boom's life, you know that that certainly was the case for her. And she probably needed some time on her knees. Although, actually, don't we all? You know, because actually it's times when, isn't it easy to pray when times are more difficult? When life is easy and just bumbling along, it's easy to think, oh, well, I can get through this day on my own. But actually, it's every day. It's every day. And actually, I firmly believe if I went round this room tonight, every one of us would say, yes, I want to spend time with Jesus. Yes, the benefits of spending time with Jesus are immense, and they are. And yet, sometimes it's just one thing that we just have to do it. We just have to make a time, and we say, no, I'm going to spend some time with God, because that's what we know that we need for every day of our lives. And so, what are we going to be known for? Mrs. Knights was known for her prayer life. You know, John Warne, we've heard this week, was known for giving of his time, giving of himself. And really the challenge to us is what sort of legacy do I want to leave? What will I be known for? You know, will I be known as a person who prayed? Will I be known as a person who spent time with God? And as I say, that's as much a challenge to me, you know, now as it's ever been. But that's the thing. We just need to take some time out of the busyness of life, because actually it's there when we'll find our strength. And so, in conclusion, where we started off, there's only so many conquer collecting days left. We've only got so much time, and it can pass us by so quickly. But just a reminder tonight of what Daryl shared with Mary and Martha. You know, are we going to sit down? Are we going to take time to sit down and sit next to Jesus and spend time with him? Because it's then that we'll be strengthened and we'll have everything we need for the life that we live. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord God, it's just so important to us to spend time with you. And Lord Jesus, I just pray, Father God, that, Lord, that we will set priorities in our lives, and Lord Jesus, that we will set time aside where we just spend with you. We just pray, Father God, that we will walk with you through our lives. Lord Jesus, help us, Father God, to just set that as a priority, Father God, to put you first and to spend time with you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for the blessings it is of just spending time in your presence. Amen.